please. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Okay, for everyone that's here, that's planning on being here tonight, I'll be speaking on the subject of friendship tonight, specifically from 1 Samuel 23, from verses 13 to 18. I think it'll be something helpful for you and to you. 1 Samuel 23, 13 to 18, it would help if you would have read that and thought about some of it before I come. Psalm 63. Let's all stand. It has been ages since I taught on the book of Psalms. I will just say this as introduction. This will be the only time that I've ever done this, but I will do it this morning. We will actually read the introduction. When you read the book of Psalms in Hebrew, which I do, you'll find that the introduction is not an introduction. It's always verse 1. Occasionally, it's verse 1 and verse 2. So if there's an introduction in the Psalms in Hebrew, it's the versification is different because the first verse will be this. If it's a long introduction, it'd be the first two verses. Psalm 63 says this, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. That will be rather significant for understanding the psalm. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He's experiencing the wilderness of Judah. Verse 2. What is he wanting? He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The psalm is three parts. The first two verses are really his present experience. And then in verse 3 to verse 9, he then talks about what he's doing about his present experience. He says in verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. That loving kindness word is a beautiful word. It's very hard to translate with all the nuance. Loving kindness is very appropriate. It can be loyal love. It has the idea of love and affection, but it has the idea of loyalty connected to that. So for reasons that make no sense to us, God loves us in a very loyal way. I mean, he sticks to us. 50 years of marriage is wonderful. God's love, when he sets his love on you, it lasts forever. So when David says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Well, of course. He says, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. And then there's a phrase in Hebrew that means with fat and with fat, which doesn't really mean much to us. But the idea being is, my soul is going to be satisfied as if I finally had enough to eat and the food was rich. Not too many of us have this problem. Most of us are looking for 200 pounds from the wrong side. But in most parts of the world, people are very thin. I don't know if I said it in church, but Noel, you've taught a small group of these guys and some students. In Davao, I noticed something. I never saw one pastor overweight. That is not because they have great self-control. It's because they don't have enough food. David is saying, I'm in this thirsty place, but when I'm with you, my soul, who I am, will be satisfied with marrow and fatness, meaning richly, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When is this going to happen? When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And then we come to the third division, because he is in the wilderness. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Poetic way of saying, at minimum, death, and maybe more than death. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I'm going to speak on this subject this morning. I'm going to speak on moving on. Now, when you read a psalm, the worst thing to do is to read one verse and to leave the psalm alone. Most of the psalms, not every one, most of the psalms were meant to be read, and listen to the language, experienced as a whole. So my goal this morning is for you to experience the movement of the psalm. Thursday, we drove down to John's house, and when we got there, I was calling my son because I got lost. Again, I didn't listen to my wife. Then John did not answer the phone. He's a bonehead. He never answers the phone. So then I had to call my wife for the fourth time to get to instruct. By the way, does any man like to ask for directions? So I had to call my wife for like the third or fourth time and say, and then she was right behind me. She saw me. She says, well, turn around and come up here. And then I followed her in. When I parked my car, my wonderful son pulled up. He was test driving his cousin's brand new 5.0 Mustang. That Mustang chews up my Prius for breakfast. When he came in, he gunned it. So I rolled my window down and gunned my Prius. The Prius doesn't gun. You understand, it's electric at that level. It doesn't do anything. He was smiling. This morning, I tell you that story not to entertain you. You have to take a ride. You can't sit there like usual and be comfortable. You have to get in. Because when you get in, you'll learn from the text how to move on in life as opposed to never moving forward. So get in with me. Let's take it for a spin. I don't have a 5.0. Mine's a 1.5. Big engine, by the way, but it still gets you there. And cheaply. Let's pray. Father, it is so good to sing and think about this song. All week long, I've been meditating on this psalm. Thinking about the movement of the psalm. Not thinking about something cute, but as the psalms are meant to be sang, they're meant for us to sing them. We're supposed to sing them. And we're supposed to experience them. I've been trying to experience what the Holy Spirit wants us to experience in this psalm. Help me to be able to convey some of that and for all of us to take it for a spin. See how the engine is. See if it takes us where you want to take us in our life. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to assume something. I'm going to assume two things. Number one, everybody in this room is a true believer. So we're not going to discuss getting saved, though that's very significant. The second thing I'm going to discuss is, and I'm assuming this too, I'm going to assume that you want to go someplace in your Christian life. Meaning, 20 years from now, you don't want to be where you are right now. You want to have moved on. I think it was the fall of 1978. It might have been the December or January of 1978. I was stationed here at Great Lakes. It was previous to getting married the next summer. And I was working midnights in the laboratory. The hardest thing I ever did was work midnights. We started at 11 o'clock and got off at about 7:30 or 8 the next morning. The work was easy. The hard part was the adjustment. And it's hard to adjust when you're working midnights and you... Because people that are not working midnights expect you to be wherever they are whenever they're there. They don't think you need to sleep. So it was very difficult to adjust. And after I had worked midnights for several months, I decided to try to do something. I decided to stop living half on days and half on midnights. I decided that every day I had off would be just like midnights. I would not sleep during the night. Instead, I was young, so I wasn't pious in those days. I decided that I would spend the night reading. So I didn't want to read in the barracks, because in the barracks there was no place to read. You had a roommate, wouldn't want the light on all night, and you rattling around. So I went back to the Naval Hospital, which doesn't even exist today, which is inconceivable. And the Naval Hospital used to face this direction, and it was like a T. There was a long segment like this. There was the north side, the south side, and then there was an east side. It was like a T above the third floor and above. The laboratory was on the third floor, on the north side, and on the east side. The south side of the laboratory on the third level in those days was a fully made-up ward for patients, but had no people in it. So if you opened the door to go to the third floor on the south side, there were beds, there were tables, there was everything that was there, but there was not patients. It was quiet. So every night I was off, I decided to take my Bible and a book and something to drink, and from 11 o'clock to 8 o'clock the next morning, I would just read. By the way, you say you're weird. I've always been weird, so I'm not saying anything that you don't know. One night, I still have the book in my office. I picked up my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which was what I read in those days, a book of sermons by W.A. Criswell on the book of Isaiah. I bought myself a Pepsi, and I walked up to the third floor, and as you walked in, there were two huge rows of beds. There was a nursing station, nothing in it. And then there was a restroom there, and then right back behind it was where it was a little conference room for the nurses. Nobody was there. I'd always go into that conference room, shut the door, turn the light on, and I'd have the whole space plus a restroom for myself for 8 hours. So that night, I went there. Late 78, might have been early 79. And I experienced something. As I was reading the Bible in Isaiah, reading the sermons by W.A. Criswell, I don't know what else to say. I experienced an overwhelming experience of the love of God. Maybe I could say I experienced an overwhelming experience of God's comfort, grace, peace, assurance. I wasn't looking for anything. I was reading the Bible. I was reading this series of sermons. And it was like I had an experience that I had never had to that point. Nothing weird, just experiencing, like Romans 5:5, the love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I experienced God's love, God's assurance that I was His. And it was an overwhelming experience. I remember seated alone. Nobody was there. There was no music. It was a small little room, a little cubicle, a conference room that just had a table and three or four chairs. By myself, I remember reading. I remember being so overwhelmed with the love of God that I slipped off the chair and just fell on my face and prayed and gave thanks to God for His love, His grace. That's the first part of the story. By the way, if you've never experienced this, see, we're talking about moving on. I'm not going to go back to people that aren't saved. That wastes my time. Some folks have to go back to getting saved every week. It's like, I'm talking about moving on. Well, this is what happened. Several months later, I thought, my goodness, that was the most I've ever, if this is the right word, felt, experienced the love of God. You know, it's nice to be loved, but it's nice to know that you're loved. It's nice that people like you, but it's also nice when you know they like you. And I just wanted to experience this again, so I did the obvious. I took same place, same time, same table, same little room, same chairs, same Thompson's Chain Reference Bible, and I brought the same book Because what did I want to do? I wanted to recreate what I'd had. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing. And that's the sermon this morning. So, why don't we begin? Let's get in the, by the way, you're in the driver's seat, not me this morning. I'm going to tell you some headings, but you're in the driver's seat. Moving on will be 100% you, won't be me. The text is very, very simple. If you look back at verse 2, so let's take this ride that David is taking, and he's kind of expecting you to get in the same vehicle and drive with him, so to speak. In verse 2, notice where he starts. I'll come back to verse 1 in a moment. He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the what? The sanctuary, kadosh in Hebrew, the holy place. David is talking about, he's had some, by the way, we're not talking about anything weird. Look at me. We're not talking about strange stuff. We're not talking about the anointing and speaking into. We're just talking about experiencing God, his love, his peace, his comfort, knowing that he loves you, those sorts of things. David has experienced this in the sanctuary, but there's a problem. Now we need to look back at the heading. Can we look back at the heading or the title of the psalm? A Psalm of David. When he was where? David's taking us on a ride. And the first stop on the ride is this. Circumstances change. You cannot stay in the sanctuary, the holy place. Sometimes you're in the sanctuary. Sometimes you're in the wilderness. Sometimes you're experiencing it's all. And by the way, I'm not a goopy person. It's almost as if God is physically present, almost, and you experience his love, comfort, peace, assurance, then there's other times. Sometimes you're in the sanctuary and sometimes you're in the wilderness. Circumstances change. And David wants us to get in the car, so to speak, take it out for a spin and stop at the first place and recognize circumstances change. Now, that's kind of a duh, but it isn't. From the sanctuary to the wilderness, circumstances do change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, sometimes just for the different. Circumstances change when we want them to, when we don't want them to, and when we're trying to keep up when they do. Circumstances change with or without our permission. One day we're in the holy place, we're in the kadosh, we're in the sanctuary. We have sacred activities going on. Maybe choirs are singing. There's comfort, there's safety. Things are sacred, there's music. It's a sacred place, and maybe we're able to watch the priest do the sacrifices in the Old Testament setting. And the next day, circumstances have changed. We're now in the wilderness. By the way, we don't know exactly when David wrote this. We don't know exactly what he's talking about. He's probably talking about one or two places. Either when Saul is chasing him all over the place trying to kill him, or do you all remember another time when David was fleeing? When Absalom, his son, is chasing him all over. And the debate is not important because it's not important the specific, it's important the idea. Circumstances change. You are in the holy place and you experience God's glory and his power. Then all of a sudden you're out in the wilderness and you're not getting that at all. All of a sudden you're not safe. You're not comfortable. You're not having a predictable life. You have no food. You have no water. You have no music. You have nothing sacred. There are no priests. There are no sacrifices. There are no offerings. Now all you're doing is fleeing and hiding and moving and hoping that God does something. So as David, I can still see John trying to irritate me. I pulled up my Prius and John pulled in his car, well, David's car. And David was in the other seat and John was taking it for a spin and he, you know, that 5.0. So I rolled my window down and I said, listen,
nothing.
It doesn't, the engine's not on. All you got's electric. But the point is not what kind of car you're in, friend. The point is you got to begin with the first stage. Stop and understand that circumstances change in life. They're not always up here where you're enjoying and you're experiencing God and you have what you need. Sometimes you're in a place that's pretty thirsty. Well, number two, would you look back with me to verse 1 and 2? I have said, and this is just the first two stops, friend. It's this. Circumstances change. Number two, experiences fade. You cannot hold on to an experience. Look at me. No matter what it is, no matter what God did in your life, experiences are like the air. They go between your fingers. You cannot, they just fade. So in verse 1, David says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? The circumstances, the first stop, have changed. And the experiences, all that you had, start to fade away. And all of a sudden, you know, you thought you were taking this smooth drive. You know, I used to see the pictures in St. Louis. We had a Christian TV station that literally said, Moy, if you trust Christ, they had a guy on a boat with a wind. He was on a little sailboat, and he was out there just sailing in the sea. And I'm like, obviously people don't know what the sea is like. Sometimes it's like, whoo, and then sometimes it's not like that. I've never been, I wasn't in the Navy, Phil. Well, I was in the Navy, but not in the Navy. You ever been on a ship that got a little, do you like that? You don't? Cliffy does. He's weird. Do you like it when the ship's, you think it's, do you ever think the ship was going to sink? One time. I've only been on a ship one time with Cliffy in the port, and I thought it was going to sink then. By the way, folks, there is no place that you can get. Circumstances change in our experiences. You said, 28 years ago, I was saved. And then you'll hear people say that every time you meet them. Folks, you can't hold on to what happened to you 28 years ago as if this is the center of your existence. Doesn't work that way. We all experience this. We have a great service at church. Maybe Dr. Moritz is here, or Dr. Saxon, or Dr. Bowder. You hear a great sermon, or maybe you hear a song, and it that day, for whatever reason, everything is in place, and you are moved that day. And then you want to have that again. So the next time you hear Saxon's coming, you say, man, I am going back. And then you hear Saxon preach that day, and it's like, because you're trying to hold on to something and bring something from the past into the present. But those experiences have a way of just fading. They always do. True experiences happen to us. And I'm not talking about anything weird. I'm talking about experiences of God's peace, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I'm talking about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about biblical ideas, nothing weird. True experience happens. But true experiences don't necessarily happen again, and they always fade. You cannot capture them. Certainly, you cannot capture them identically again. True experiences cannot be created on demand. Years ago, 18, a couple came to this church. They had said they had gotten saved someplace in Europe in the military. The church they were in was a church of about 15 people. And when I talked to them the first time, I knew immediately they're going to have problems at Lake County Baptist. They got saved in Europe. I don't remember what country, what church. It was a mission church, which all that's good. But they were saved in this little bitty church of 15, maybe 30 people on the biggest day of 10 years. In that little church, this couple did everything with that little church. 5 to 6 nights a week, they were with that little church. Are y'all listening? They did everything with that little church. And then they got transferred to Great Lakes. I remember sitting down with the husband and specifically speaking to him and his wife. And I said, Lake County Baptist is not that little church where every time you go to McDonald's, the whole church goes with you. I said, Lake County Baptist, most of the women or the ladies work. They don't have time to gossip, talk with you 12 hours a day. They don't have they're working. Most of the ladies have children. Most of the men work. And I'm sorry, no matter what. And I remember talking to him and I said, you cannot expect here to be there. Well, here's the problem. No matter what I said to them, they were satisfied with this church about 2 or 3 months. Here's your problem, and here's all of our problem. If I ask people, and there's one person that's in my mind right now, if I talk to them about their Christianity happened when they got saved, and maybe one other time. That's all of the Christianity they have. Nothing else has happened in the next 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years. Nothing happened except when they got saved. And here's the problem. David's saying, you know what? Circumstances change. One day you're in the sanctuary, you're being overwhelmed by the presence of God, and then those experiences fade away and they're gone. What do you do now? Well, now it's time to grow up. Now it's time to move on. Now it's time to be a Christian, but most people try to keep going back to those experiences. So when you hear them talk, they constantly talk, well, I got saved in 19 whatever. I quit smoking in here. I quit drinking here. And it's like, okay, God bless you. What's been going on the last 30 years? And the answer is nothing. Best thing I ever heard in Bible college. I'm going to share it with you right now. It is the best thing I heard in Bible college with maybe one or two exceptions. Are you ready? The president came to the pulpit one day and preached on the subject of going back home. For you military people, you might want to write this down. He said, home is not an area. Home is an era. Home is not an area. Home is an era. It's not, I'm going to translate that from Greek into English. Home is not a place, it's a time. He said this, you can go back home. You can go back, but you can never go home. Because when you get home, everything about that time period's changed. We had several families that used to be here back in the dark ages that have come back. One of them was friends of Mike and I's. I still like them. He doesn't like me anymore, and that's fine. I told him before he moved up here, I said, you do understand that Ralph is no longer the Ralph of 1970s. I am the pastor now. I said, and all I was doing, please hear me, friend, is what David was saying. David's in the wilderness now. We can't be playing around in the sanctuary and saying, well, I was in the sanctuary 28 years ago and I experienced God. By the way, that's way past. Home is not a place, friend. Home is a period of time with all the connections. In a few weeks, I will go, are you ready? I will go home. And the first thing I notice when I go home is home's not home. I have people that have asked me, are you going to move back to Southern Illinois? By the time I retire, which will be somewhere in my 90s, look at me in the eyes, and I'm being really serious. Everybody I knew at home will be gone. Why would I move back home? Home is not a place, it's an era, a period of time. And David is saying, you can't go back to the sanctuary. What are you doing in the wilderness of Judah? Get on board, get in the seat. Circumstances change and experiences, all the little things. By the way, nothing wrong with the experiences you had. God blesses some of those. I have many great memories of places, but I can't go back there and recapture that experience. That place doesn't exist. It's gone. Hey, when I came back here, 15 years after I left here, this place had changed. This place has changed so much in 20 years that people that come back here don't even recognize anything. Even though they'll say, nothing's changed in the last 20 years. It's like, okay, who were those? Oh, I don't know any of those people. Everything changes. It's called, home is not an area. It's an era. By the way, in your Christian life, you cannot hold on It goes through your fingers from the experiences you had 25 years ago or 2 years ago. We move on to the third idea, which is the heart of the passage. We're now making our third stop. We're driving that Mustang 5.0. It's got a great engine. It makes the sound of that thing is so much better than my Prius. My Prius has two sounds, no sound or something like a whiny sound. That's what it does when it's really putting the power and pedal to the metal. That 5.0 Mustang sounded sweet, roaring. Look at me. I don't care what kind of car you're in. Take the ride to the third stage. Look at verse 3. David says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That's not in the past, that's now. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, meaning I'm going to be overwhelmingly satisfied with all that you are. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Here's the third stop. We're taking the old Ford for a test drive. Circumstances change. Yes, they do. Some days we're in the sanctuary in the Kadosh, in the very presence of God's glory and holiness. Other days we're in the wilderness. And the experiences we had here, they just tend to fade away. And you can't hold on, no matter how much you try to grab them, they're not there. They don't exist. Well, he continues. So what do we do? What does he say the third stop is? It's in verse 6. And by the way, I have said circumstances change, experiences fade. Number 3, habits must take over. Habits must take over. Habits must take over. When does the change happen? Look at verse 6. Oh my goodness. He says, when I remember thee, I'm no longer in the sanctuary. I'm on the run. But I remember, I choose to remember thee upon my bed. And not only do I remember thee, Lord, in your loving kindness and your wonder and your grace, not only am I satisfied, I not only remember that, he says, and meditate on thee in the night watches. So when I go to bed, the night watches, I'm assuming you know they didn't have a nice watch. They didn't have a digital watch that said it was 2:47 a.m. The night watches were always in the ancient world, just big segments of time, usually 3 hours. The Romans had 4 of them, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., from 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3 a.m., and 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Mark talks about those 4 watches. I don't know if David looked at the same thing, but he was saying, during the night, I'm not in the tabernacle, but when I put my head on the pillow, I start remembering and I start meditating on you, your grace, your goodness. So when the circumstances of my life change and those experiences start fading away, instead of, everyone look up here, instead of doing what Christians do, let me run back and talk about getting saved one more time. It's as if Jesus only does one thing, saves you, and the rest of your life you do your own thing. No, God wants you to experience him in an ever-growing way. He wants believers not to have a testimony, but to have testimonies all through life. He wants you to be able to talk about what God did when he saved you, and here, and here, and here, because it's you choosing to remember, you choosing to think about, talk about, in your bed during the night, and to recap, not to recapture that, but to rekindle that relationship and to freshly experience God. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. By the way, that's pretty experiential. He's using the analogy of how a bird, many kinds of birds, protect their young under the wing. He's talking about, I can experience your protection even in the wilderness, even in my problems. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I have said the first stop, circumstances change. The second stop, experiences fade. The third stop, habits, rhythms, routines, whatever you want to call them, must take over. Verse 6 humbles me. I'm going to say many things. You do not have time to write them down. I would recommend you listen to this online again. I am going to say things that are life-changing right now. Verse 6 is the most humbling verse I have read. This entire week I have been meditating on it. And meditation is not this. Meditation in the Bible is always the same thing. Talking to yourself and to God under your breath. I have been speaking this to myself over and over because it's what it says to do. So I'm going to tell you what I have learned. It is not about a specific place. It's about making a place. It's not about the tabernacle. It's about God in your bed. It's not about a time. It's about making time and taking time. It's not about holding on to the past as if somehow 38 years ago is the only thing that's important. It's about reaching into the future. So God changes you not only then, but there's these testimonies in one's life. It's not about what happens to us, our experiences, but what happens within us, our meditation, our remembering. It's not about an experience, it's about the Lord. It's not about what I'm feeling, it's about what I'm doing. See, one day you grow up. And you realize the reason you experience God in certain ways is other people were doing things. People were singing. People were praying. People were praying for you. You were hearing the word. And all of a sudden you experience something. What you missed was all the doing that led to the experience, the feeling. It's not about the feeling. It's about what you're doing. It's not about feelings and experiences and emotions, because they come and go. It's about, would you look at verse 6 again, please? When I what? Remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches during those periods of the night. It is this in a nutshell, friend. It is choosing to remember. Look at me. The third stop is where habits, and habits are things you develop. I, Ralph Warren, choose to remember things about God, His loving kindness. So I not only, it's choosing to remember, it's choosing what I remember. Because everybody has all this stuff, and you can go to bed at night thinking, oh my goodness, I'm in the wilderness, and I'm thirsty, and I'm hungry, and I'm tired, and I'm tired of doing this. What are you, a whiner? Or you can go to bed at night and you can choose to think about God's loving kindness, God's grace, God's strength, God's power. You make the decision, no one else. You choose what you think about. By the way, he says, when I remember, that makes the difference. Most of us have no idea that you can choose what you think about. So when I remember and what I remember, and then it's that beautiful word meditation. And the word meditation, again, Haggad just simply means to speak under the breath. On Wednesday night, we'll look at every reference in the Bible. It talks about what a dove does. You ever heard a dove or a pigeon cooing? It's that concept. It's just kind of you're just speaking to yourself. So David is talking about the change. I'm not going back someplace to recapture something. No, I'm moving forward. I am now, by my habits, taking charge of my Christian life. So it's choosing to remember. It's choosing what you remember. And then it's talking to yourself and to God under your breath. Talking this to yourself. How about this? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy... It's not talking about... Look here, folks. It is not talking about taking your King James Bible and chewing on it. It's talking about meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Talk to yourself about it day and night. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Something delightful. It's a habit that you have perfected. So instead of running back to, I got saved someplace, done that, been there, got the T-shirt, Oh, no. Yes, getting saved is wonderful. That's just the first part. Then there's this journey with the Lord that will last forever. And once you get past there and that emotion leaves you, what do you do then? Keep talking about the same thing? Or do you start with habits to experience God again? His love, His peace, His grace, His assurance, and you move forward. Turn your Bibles to two texts, both in Psalms. Psalm 77, verse 12. Would you look there, please? Psalm 77, verse 12. Everybody find it? 77 and verse 12. The psalmist says, I will do what? Meditate means to talk under your breath to yourself and to God. I will means I make that choice. My friend, I think too many of us are waiting around. You know what we're really waiting for? All of the circumstances to be perfect. When does that happen? Yes, it does. Heaven. So if you're waiting around for all your ducks to get in a row and everything to be perfect, no. Or you can be a grown-up and start saying, you know what, I think I will start to talk to myself under my breath about God, His truth, His word. It's these habits. So the third stop of the journey is, yes, I had some good experiences, but circumstances have changed. And as I've moved on, those experiences kind of fade, and instead of keep going back, no, we build on that and we move forward. And we develop habits of choosing to remember, choosing what you remember, and talking under one's breath to the Lord and yourself about this. So look at the text. I will meditate also of all thy work. And remember parallelism? This basically saying the same thing. And talk of thy doings. Last text, Psalm 143, verse 5. Psalm 143 and verse 5. He says, I remember. You know, understand active verbs? This is not passive. I was caused to remember, or somebody brought it to my memory, or it just happened that this came floating through my small brain. He's saying, I remember the days of old. I meditate. That's that same word about I talk to myself of all thy works. And another word for meditation, I muse on the works of thy hands. Please look at me, friend. Are you in the Mustang? Are you still sleeping in the parking lot? If you're sleeping in the parking lot, good. For the rest of us, let's go back and let's say this. We just started the Mustang. We're taking off, and the first stop is circumstances change. One day, you're in the Kadosh. You're in the holy place. The next day, you're in the wilderness. You can't do anything about the circumstances, can you? Minimally. The experiences that we had, they fade. There's no way you can hold on to the glory of God that you experienced 10 years ago. You can't hold on to that. So habits must take over. And the habits are, I, Ralph Warren, when I put my head on that pillow, in the bed, in the night watches, I choose to remember. I choose what I remember. I'm not a victim of other people's ideas. I'm not a victim of, I just can't control it. Really? You absolutely control what you think about or what you don't think about. Everybody does. The problem is many of us have never realized that we can control what we think about. And I choose not only to remember and what I remember, I choose to talk to myself about certain ideas. So, my circumstances change, my experiences fade, but my habits then take over. Habits must take over. If we got in a time machine and went back to the first church I pastored, let's say 25 years ago right now, 25 years ago right now, I already know what I'd be talking about. November 23rd, 1975 is an anniversary of mine. November 23rd, 1975, right here at Great Lakes, through some circumstances, basically God, Ralph Warren was confronted by his sin. And they were some big ones. Number one sin that I didn't know at the time, I would do anything to fit in. Though I didn't recognize that was the problem at the time. I didn't really recognize from age 13 to age 18, my number one problem had nothing to do with what I thought it was. It really had something to do with I would do anything to fit in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, at the time, I thought it was something else. I thought it was smoking dope and drinking beer. So November 23rd, 1975 was the last time I have touched a joint or drank a beer or any alcohol of any kind. 41 years ago anniversary, this last week. Now I'm going to ask you, why don't I talk about that today? If we go back to St. Louis 25 years ago, it was still pretty fresh in my mind. Can I tell you what? Was that a big deal? Was that a big deal? Massive. But hasn't God done anything in the last 41 years? I could talk to you about getting saved as a 9-year-old. This means 50 years ago, I got saved in the summer 50 years ago. 1967. I remember getting saved. But why would I talk about getting saved every single week? Is that the only thing that God wants to do? Don't you get saved to know Him and love Him and serve Him and obey Him and worship Him? And I'm still talking about getting saved 50 years ago? Or I'm talking about, look at me, hey, I'm still talking about the testimony as a pastor. The only testimony some people have is something that happened decades ago. I got news for you, friend. I'm sharing to you what God has been teaching me this week. Because I'm moving on. Because I've come to realize Christianity's not back there. Christianity's moving on. And I want to keep moving on. I know circumstances change, and no matter how hard you hold on, we got some young people here today. You will not believe in 10 years how much different your life will be. Some of your parents will be dead. Many of your grandparents will be gone. Things change. Amen? No matter how hard you try. And you're going to keep trapped back there. I used to think the worst thing in the world was to see a guy from the 60s with his ponytail. And no, I'm not speaking about Mike. It is ugly. But I'm not speaking about him. The worst thing I ever saw was not a hippie from the 60s. I was at Walmart 6-8 years ago, passing through Walmart. And you know, after the hippies were over, it was Stacy's era. And they still had long hair, but what did they call those nasty things? Where they had the side of their head buzzed and the back of their hair was about that long. A mullet. I saw a guy with gray hair in a perfect mullet. And my first thought was, buddy, did you get lost in the 80s? And my second thought was, that was ugly in the 80s. And look at me, and why does the guy want it? He wants to hold on to something back here that's going to make his life make sense. Can I tell you something, friend? I hope by the grace of God, God has saved you. Yes, and by the way, that's worth talking about. And yes, I hope God has changed you. That's worth talking about. How about this week? You're telling me God hasn't done anything in your life? Here's the car. Circumstances change. Experiences fade. Habits. Habits, wow, of the heart must take over. When you meet somebody that has a testimony, look at me, from 30 years ago, but not testimonies, that's abnormal. Christians are to have testimonies. What God's doing, what He's been doing, what you've been learning, how you've been growing. You say, how does it happen? Look at verse 6 again, would you? 63, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed, you choose to remember. You choose what you remember and meditate on thee in the night watches. And you choose to talk about that to yourself. We're almost done. We're coming to the last part of the journey. The journey started. You thought you were going to take this nice, comfortable ride, and all of a sudden you're in the Mustang with the 5.0. It gets 2 miles to a gallon when you're revving it up. And all of a sudden he slams on his brake, and this is your first stop. Circumstances change. You can't go back to Europe where there were 12 people in your church and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. It doesn't work. And those experiences that you're trying to hold on to, and you're still talking about the same thing 40 years later, really? God has done nothing in 40 years? They're just fade. Then those habits of the heart, choosing to remember, choosing what you remember, talking to yourself and God under your breath, whispering to yourself, all of a sudden that becomes the center of life. And I come now to the end of the journey of the psalm, which is experiences then return. But they're not the same thing that happened back here. They're new because you're meditating on new things. You're seeing new things. You're understanding new things. So we go back and we read, and we're done this morning. Look at verse 3. Because what was he been thinking about? God's chesed, his loyal love, his loving kindness is better than life. That's what David was thinking about. He says, because of that, my lips are going to praise you. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the richness of God. Marrow and fatness means the very richest, fullest food. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 7, because thou hast been my what? Help. But not a help one time when you got saved. Oh no, many, many, many times. You've been my help. You're meditating on Psalm 46, verse 1. Thy right hand, I missed that. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, my friend, once you understand, circumstances change, and those experiences that were important and are important, they fade. You're not supposed to keep going back and back and back. You're supposed to be moving on. Habits then take over. And I said something in Sunday school and had 3 or 4 people mad as a hornet when I said it. I said on a Sunday school in the last 6 months, the habits of the day and the habits of the heart, within 6 months, everybody will know who's playing games and everybody will know who's doing it. Because you're not stuck someplace. You're moving on. The experiences will become new. You'll start talking about what God has done this week, not 40 years ago. That's what the psalmist is talking about. That's the end of the journey. By the way, I'm not looking for experiences. Experiences happen. But when you're meditating and thinking and rejoicing in what God is doing and how God can help and how God can intervene, all of a sudden I have new experiences of God's grace, not just in the tabernacle, the holy place, even in the wilderness. Father, thank you for your word. My